So the first hack, if you want more energy, so by energy, I also mean more physical energy. It can be more money energy. Money is a form of energy. Power is a form of energy. Accept more responsibility. So there are things that you may not be accepting responsibility for, and this is why it's like the least sexy conversation and most people want to punch me in the face. But look at, where are you deflecting responsibility to someone else? Not in the form of delegation, but in the form of expectation.
I'm Junaid Ahmed, host of Hacks and Hobbies podcast and a digital presence advisor at HumbleZone. This episode is brought to you by Home Studio Mastery. I launched a consultation and course program to help podcasters and course creators to create a space in their homes that'll reduce the friction of creating content and appearing their best when showing up on camera. The pandemic gave us a lot of issues, but this one is here to stay. We're now so much closer to our audience thanks to video becoming more popular and affordable. I help guide folks who want to create Hollywood-worthy studios to not only capture great content, but also build more confidence, more authority, and be more comfortable in front of the camera. If I can do it, you can too. And with my help, you can do it faster. So if you'd like to learn more, visit homestudiomastery.com and how you too can create a home studio that brings out your personality, professionalism, and possibilities. Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
Kimberly Spencer is an award-winning, high-performance, trauma-informed coach and trainer, Amazon best-selling author, TEDx speaker, and the founder of CrownYourself.com and the CEO of Communication Queens Agency, helping visionary leaders transform their self-limiting stories and then build their empire, stand out fearlessly, and make the income and the impact they deserve. From her entrepreneurial beginnings at five selling bags of glitter water, to her neighbors, to becoming an award-winning screenwriter, certified Pilates instructor, Miss Congeniality, and six-time WeGo health activist, award nominee Kimberly is proof that it's better to make your own mold than to conform to someone else's. She's also the former executive of a national e-commerce startup and was the owner of the private Pilates studio, Fitness with Kim, in Los Angeles, California. Her work has been featured on Netflix, The CW, ESPN, Chicken Soup for the Soul, and NPR, and in Thrive Global, CNBC, and Forbes. Kimberly, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Junaid. I'm so excited to be here.
Fantastic. So what I love to do for my audience sake is want to get the origin story. How and where did Kimberly come from? I know some people have really long journeys and some people not so much, but I would love to for you to share the most apt version that can show the people a path on how you landed to where you are today.
So I came from a small town called Los Angeles.
And it was small at one point, right?
That's maybe 100 years ago, but I grew up there and my parents were two entrepreneur parents. And that was great because I learned, like, my mom was literally pushing me in the stroller, passing out advertising for her, for their business together. Yeah. So I grew up in this great entrepreneurial environment. That being said, though, I did see the struggles that come with growing a business. And my father was also an addict. So that complicated some matters as well. Like, there was various challenges in that arena. But because I was in Los Angeles, the place where I saw that I could make the income and impact that I wanted to make was in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And so I got started, actually graduated high school, dropped out of college 2 weeks before I was supposed to start for an acting class. And had I not been the person that I am today, like, most parents would think that was like insane. Mm-hmm. But my parents, knowing how entrepreneurial I am, told you that light. There we go. Knowing how entrepreneurial I am, they were like, yeah, we fully support you. We know you're going to go out there and hustle. And I started getting internships and jobs, doing production work, and also learning all of the various assets of the film industry. I ended up landing my first feature film that I got to co-write with the director. We worked that process, and then simultaneously, to support myself in entertainment, I started teaching Pilates, and I realized that there was this through line of transforming people's stories, whether it was a story of transformation on film, or whether that was a story of transformation of what someone thought was possible for their body. I was constantly in the business of transforming stories. So when my dream came true at 24, big feature film, up on the big screen, see my name, and I'm only 90% fulfilled. I'm like, okay, what gives? What is missing? And so I went on a quest, and I got immediately, not so immediately, but within a month, I just manifested a person coming into my life who showed me a product that they were going to take to market. And I said, I see the value of this, because I was a Pilates instructor and it was a back stretching device. I said, I see, I could sell this. I could put this in every Pilates studio and in every chiropractic studio.
Yeah.
And I saw the product and I said, I don't just want to be a consultant. I want to be a partner. So I came on as president of that company. We grew the company for 2 years. Nice. My business partner and I had very big differences as far as how we made decisions. Mm-hmm. And had I known or had a coach that does what I do now, we probably wouldn't have had this massive speed bumps, AKA car wreck in our relationship when he said he wanted to buy me out. Mm-hmm. And 3 months before I was about to get married, I had the 3 months that I was about to get married, instead of picking out napkins and cake tastings, I did the cake tasting, but with a side of, oh, look over this legal contract.
Right.
And here's another nasty email from a lawyer, because they don't send you the nicest emails when they're not, when you're not paying them for your side. Mm-hmm. And so I had all of these beliefs of fears and doubts that I thought I'd handled in every other area. I'd always been very audacious with my career, suddenly thrown in my face that I wasn't educated enough, that I didn't have enough experience, that I was too young, too girly. And thrown at me by professional men. And finally, we signed out the buyout agreement 3 weeks before I got married. And I walked down the aisle and I went off on my honeymoon and I was like, what do I do when I get back?
Yeah.
And that was when, as an entrepreneur does, I brainstormed with my husband a lot. And I, after way too many espressos, I looked at all of these passions that I'd had from being in beauty pageants and writing and film and health and fitness. And I saw this holistic picture of what success could be. And I immediately leaped off the couch and I said, crown yourself. And my husband's, what's that? And I said, that's the name of my company. He's like, what do you do? I said, I don't know. But so I immediately did what I say not to do, is I went into work in productive procrastination, where I bought all the things, all the nice film equipment, all the did all the things, but I didn't make sales for a year and a half. And it was in that year and a half that I realized how mired in doubt I was about my own capabilities, how I was living in a cycle of blame, shame, and complaining. Mm. And that was when I found out I was pregnant. And if you've ever, for the parents out there, you know, that changes you.
Yeah.
And I realized that the person that I was not the person that I wanted to raise my son. And so that was when I went and got certified in NLP, timeline therapy, hypnosis. I went to town on my subconscious mind. I immediately came back, started booking clients and growing an actual business instead of a lovely, expensive hobby.
Yeah.
And that's when everything started to take off. And then 7 years later, I've worked with some extraordinary leaders who have gone on to do have game-changing results.
And that is a very concise and beautiful story on how you, where you came from, the inspirations you had, the motivations, the environment that you were growing, because it is so important to cultivate the environment that we are in. And your parents, as entrepreneurs, they know exactly what to lead you on or how to support, because that's something that not a lot of families know how to support an entrepreneurial mind.
It's
they're always like, no, that's not for you. You shouldn't be doing that. That's because they don't know anything other than what they've come through.
Or they'll project their opinions. Like one of my clients was going to her mom for business advice, and she just to talk to somebody. And I was like, you're seeking support from the wrong person who's been in a corporate career for 40 years and only one job. They're not going to see the same level. Entrepreneurs, you got to take a risk. Yes. And they're not going to see you taking an investment or putting in an investing in your business or in yourself as something that is, they're going to see that as a risk and not see the reward that can come from that when you do that.
Tell me a little bit about what it means to transform lives and what are the key components of your approach.
My favorite thing. Our subconscious stories are what are ruling us. It's been studied that about 95% of what we do is subconscious programming. And I do truly believe that people are doing the best that they can with the resources that they've been given. But some of us just have some crappy resources.
Yeah.
I know I certainly did when I was about 18, 19, starting out on my entrepreneurial journey, going forth in show business. I believed I was a victim, that I was damaged, that I was broken. I didn't know how to feel my feelings. I didn't have any emotional regulation because that was the problem of growing up in an addict home. I was recently on a podcast called The $1 Million Tipping Point with my mom, and it was fun because I got to see and share about both of our experiences growing our businesses.
Yeah.
And afterward, I said, she was sharing about an experience that she had with a customer regarding emotional reactivity. And I said, Mom, I really don't think you taught me good emotional reactivity. And she goes, oh, I'm sure we didn't. I'm sure we didn't.
Like, I know.
I know we didn't. The level of calm you have now is very not what I did have when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. And yes, you could chalk that up to being a teenager, but also it's the behavioral patterns. So the stories, especially from childhood, and especially if you've dealt with childhood trauma, a lot of my clients who I've worked with have had some sort of childhood trauma, whether it was abandonment issues or actual abuse or sexual abuse. There's a scale. I forget who put it out. I think it was a CDC that was like the scale of if you've experienced 4 out of 5 of these 10 things in your childhood, you are at severe risk for depression and anxiety as an adult. I had 8 out of the 10.
Holy smokes.
So that shaped me a lot for how I make decisions, but it also shaped me as to how I'm able to see behavior. Because if you've ever grown up with an addict, you know that there's a part of you that looks to calibrate behavior before someone walks in the room because you want to know how to adapt yourself so that you survive. So that experience really allowed me to see that A, I can hold the highest and best potential because I did stage my dad's intervention in 2016. Mm-hmm. He was so proud that he was the last 4 years of his life he spent sober. But that came from learning emotional regulation, reprogramming my own subconscious story of blame and shame and complaining, and taking full ownership for my participation. Of course, as a child, it's not your fault. And it's your responsibility to do the healing, because when you do, sharing your story then becomes a tool to help unlock other people. So when I, the first step that I always start with in transformation is taking epic personal responsibility for your life, your results, your work, where you are at this moment. It's not always the sexiest conversation that people want to have.
They don't want to talk about it.
Oh, it's hard. Personal responsibility is hard. It's uncomfortable. And then there's all the feelings of shame if you're not where you want to be yet. Mm-hmm. And so accepting that, then moving into asking yourself different questions. So typically, the results that you have are somewhere in correlated to the questions that you've been asking. So I used to ask myself really bad questions. Bad as in non-effective, as in they didn't produce the results that I wanted. Yeah. So I would ask myself, like, when I would mess up or make a mistake, I'd be like, oh, why do I suck?
Yeah. Okay. That's
terrible question.
Yeah.
In fact, why in general is a terrible question to ask. Sorry, Simon Sinek. because it's great in Simon Sinek's role and what his TED talk was about when you're focusing the question towards purpose and vision and enrolling people in the why of what you want to do. Great.
There has to be an intention behind it.
It has to be an intentional, forward-focused, solution-focused question versus when it's focused in the other direction. Ooh, you go down the shame spiral of There's excuses. There's every limiting belief. There's that thing that happened to you when you were four that totally, absolutely is exactly why that's you're not making money now or whatever it is of whatever goal that you want to achieve. Yeah. Like your subconscious mind, it's going to be commanded by the questions that you
ask. Yeah.
So if you start asking it questions of what and how, then your subconscious mind will start thinking towards strategy because it's not you. You're perfect. You're amazing. You're perfecting as you are right now. You're doing the best that you can with the resources that you have. It's your strategy that you're currently operating from that's proving to be ineffective because you're not getting the results that you want. So if it's not you, it's your strategy. Asking what and how will get you a new strategy. So when I reprogrammed myself from a 10-year battle with bulimia, it wasn't the why questions that I was asking. Yeah. It was a what and how. Mm-hmm. It was what triggered me to go into a binge and purge spiral? What caused me to feel this way? What emotions was I suppressing? What was I not allowing to fully feel? What was I really trying to experience from eating a whole pint of ice cream? Mm-hmm. What was I really going for? Those questions then allow you to move through the layers of learning from unconscious incompetence, where you don't know what you don't know and you don't know that you don't know it, to conscious incompetence, which is really messy. And it's a learning process where most people give up because they're in this, they're remembering the learning that they should have remembered, that they quote unquote should have remembered before they made the mistake. And so they're rebuilding new neural pathways, changing habits, changing patterns of behavior. And normally you're going to learn it after you make the mistake. But as you go through that messy period, then you start to get into conscious competence where then you're suddenly catching yourself. Oh, I felt like I wanted to have a donut. And then I'm going to go.
God, I was 2 days ago, I was close to where there's a big donut shop and it's 30 minutes away. And I would go there every day. We'd get a dozen donuts. And this time around, I was like, you know what? No, I'm not going to.
Conscious competence. Yeah. There it is in action. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the beautiful part where you catch yourself and you're like, what do I really need right now? Like, is it really donuts that I want? Yeah. I'll admit, like right before this, I had a donut. That's probably why it's on my mind. Cause I was like, I really do want a donut right now. I had a lunch and I wanted a little donut and my boys were so excited to share it with me. And so we all like just shared a donut.
Yeah.
And, but it was cause I was aware that I was like, oh, it's a bonding thing. I just genuinely desired it. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But it's removing any shame or blame or stigma around the thing, whatever it is that you're craving or desiring. Maybe it's spending money on something. Cause I've seen that so often with business owners. Maybe it's not a donut. Maybe it's, oh, I feel like I should buy this course. Do you have a backlog of courses that you haven't completed?
Yeah. Is purchasing that one course going to solve your problem?
Yeah. Or maybe do you just need to make a sales call?
Maybe you need to do sales calls instead.
Yeah. Maybe do you just need to have a conversation about bringing on a team member? Maybe like a lot of times the thing is not the thing, but we don't know that unless we question our own strategy.
Yeah.
And so it's becoming relentless about what are the questions that you're asking yourself to direct you in the direction of where you want to go? And then to commitment and to celebrating the wins, to celebrating the minor wins, because when we can recognize those, then we see the major ones. When we see, oh my gosh, look at how far we've come. Look at how even just the minor win of, oh, I actually chose not to go to the donut shop today. That's a win.
It's a win.
Yeah. Celebrate it. And celebrating those micro wins along the way. And I used to be the type that sets like really big audacious goals. And I'm always for like, I love a good challenge. But sometimes when you're in the thick of transforming your story, you need micro goals. You need to like get those like bite-sized wins of nutrients and fuel your body that way with, oh, I did that. And oh, I said I was going to, instead of I'm going to make $1 million this year, I'm just going to get one new client.
Yeah.
One new client. And then build and stack off of that.
So, Kimberly, we've talked a lot about your story, what kept you motivated, what's coming up and how you've helped people transform their lives. Tell me a little bit about being on this journey as an entrepreneur. What has kept you motivated? I know the results from the people you said for the first year, you didn't do any sales.
Oh, yeah. So I had one sale looking back in hindsight. I made $100.
And I'm probably in that same boat, right? A lot of the time, like, okay, how do I get to that next level? So you said you spent a lot of time in putting a lot of good stuff in your head. Talk to us about that.
I love knowledge. I love learning. I love adapting. I love learning new strategies. I also think that knowledge is BS without implementation. So it's less about what do we need to learn. It's more about what do we need to learn and then implement immediately. So for example, if you're listening to this podcast, enjoy it and ask yourself, what do I need to learn that if I put in into practice right away, right after this podcast, it would radically change, quantum leap my life, for example. And I do this with every podcast that I listen to, everything that I learn. I look at how can I apply this, not just learn it, retain it, understand it, but I want to apply it because that's true knowledge. True knowledge is the application and the embodiment of it. Absolutely. So I'm currently going through a course in somatic attachment therapy. Mm-hmm. And everything I'm going through, I'm like, how do I apply this? And I'm always seeing my kids in this. I'm like, that's one I got to work on. Or this is one area that I can improve. But that space of looking at everything you're consciously consuming, this is conscious consumerism. Mm-hmm. Everything you're consciously consuming, look at how can you apply this and put it into action in your life? Because otherwise, it's just another piece of information. And then this is the tricky part of just obtaining knowledge. Then you go to the seminars and you take the courses and you say, I already know this. If you do it without applying it, because if you actually apply it, you'll actually see the results in transformation. Mm-hmm. But nothing gets transformed if it's not on the physical realm. Like we can think we know it.
We can feel
like, oh, I feel like I've heard this information before. But if you're not actively applying it and doing it, nothing's actually changing.
I love that. And I believe that probably inspired you to become a TEDx speaker.
Yes. That was, being a TEDx speaker was my goal for the past 3 years. Mm-hmm. And that experience was so much a lesson of divine trust and learning how to trust myself and not worry about something.
Yeah.
Because I was in Australia. We were in Queensland during the pandemic. We got stuck there for 2 years. And we were in a great part, not the part that everyone in America heard about. We're like, what is happening in Australia? Yeah. But we were in the part that as long as we didn't leave the state, it was great.
Yeah. Okay.
And we got to have a beautiful life. My kid got to go to school. And so I remember thinking, and I was like, I wonder if I had a TED talk here. Talk about a blue ocean strategy right there. Cause I'm an American living abroad in this crazy pandemic. I got curious. I looked it up and I saw that there were some TED talks happening. I thought, well, I'll just reach out. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to an entrepreneur friend, and he's also been featured on many major press outlets, and I've been in Forbes and CNBC and a ton of places. And he said, did you find out the secret? Like, I see that you've been on some pretty major places. And I said, yeah, I think so. Are we talking about the same secret? And he goes, you tell me, what's the secret? And I said, you just ask.
You just have to ask.
You just have to ask. It's one of my favorite quotes from Oprah, is that in life, you get what you have the courage to ask for. And so I asked for the TED talk. I found out on the day my son was born, because I opened up my emails on 16 hours after I gave birth. It's perks of natural childbirth. And I was just lying on the couch with my new baby boy on my tummy. And I looked and I said, oh my God, they want to meet with me. They wanted to meet with me, but they didn't know what my talk was about.
Sure.
And so 3 weeks before the TED talk was supposed to happen, they said, we love your story. We've looked at your stuff. Do you think you'll be ready in 3 weeks? And I was like, initially, I was like, are you crazy? It's a TED talk. And then I thought, am I crazy? When am I going to have another opportunity like this?
Right.
So I left and I went home and I immediately put everything that I teach my clients to do into practice. When you have a big goal, ask for the support. I got a speaking coach. I told my husband, I said, you're going to be on dad duty for the next 3 weeks. And he was like, great. What do I have to do to support you? We crafted a plan of what I could do. And then I practice and I rehearse and I rehearse with my kid and I rehearse with my baby and the like Bjorn and I rehearse pacing back. And I just worked it And I told my team and I said, you're going to have to focus on all the automation pieces. And I'm going to be focusing on just this TED Talk. That's the main piece that we're focusing on for the next month. And allowed myself to fully surrender. And like that weekend, there were rumors, possible threats of in Australia, what they were doing were called snap lockdowns, where they would lock down suddenly for like with only like 24 hour notice.
Oh, wow.
And so there were rumors that was probably going to happen. And I literally, I declared it to the universe. I was like, not on my watch. Not this time. I'm holding the faith.
I got to get it done first.
Mm-hmm. I said, Monday, go for it. Lock it down. But, and it was only, there were only 9 cases. That was that bad. Yeah. That was the experience of the TED Talk. It went off amazing. I then have since got so many opportunities from that. Yeah. But it came down to literally practicing what I preach, taking full ownership, making the decision. Like my TED Talk was so meta for me because everything I was talking about in the TED Talk, which is all about deciding and how to make a very conscious full body decision and then how to go through the emotional decision-making process, recommitting and committing to that decision was everything that I was literally practicing for those 3 weeks to have the TED Talk happen. So it literally was practicing. It was a very meta experience.
My God, I love that. Dude, this has been a lot of fun. Let's take a quick break. And when we get back, you can share 3 hacks to take for our superpreneurs listening. And we'll have some more fun to talk about. All right, we'll be right back.
I'm Janae Ahmed, host of Hacks and Hobbies podcast and a digital presence advisor at Humble Zone. This episode is brought to you by Home Studio Mastery. I launched a consultation and course program to help podcasters and course creators to create a space in their homes that'll reduce the friction of creating content and appearing their best when showing up on camera. The pandemic gave us a lot of issues, but this one is here to stay. We're now so much closer to our audience thanks to video becoming more popular and affordable. I help guide folks who want to create Hollywood-worthy studios to not only capture great content, but also build more confidence, more authority, and be more comfortable in front of the camera. If I can do it, you can too. And with my help, you can do it faster. So if you'd like to learn more, visit homestudiomastery.com and how you too can create a home studio that brings out your personality, professionalism, and possibilities.
Guys, welcome back. This is Janae, and we're talking with Kimberly Spencer here. She's an amazing human being. Crown Yourself is the company that she runs. She's done some amazing transformations throughout her career in helping entrepreneurs figure out their story. So, Kimberly, you have a few, 3 hacks to share with the audience.
So the first hack, if you want more energy, so by energy, I also mean more physical energy. It can be more money energy. Money is a form of energy. Power is a form of energy. Accept more responsibility. So there are things that you may not be accepting responsibility for. And this is why it's like the least sexy conversation. And most people want to punch me in the face. But look at where are you deflecting responsibility to someone else, not in the form of delegation, but in the form of expectation, in the form of, oh, they'll just take care of it. Or, oh, I don't need to worry about that. Versus being responsible, responding in the moment. Maybe it's, for example, like you have a client contract and you're like, I don't want to get back to them. I don't want to bother them. Like they have the contract. And instead of saying, no, my services are of value, I'm going to respond. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to question. I'm going to circle back and we're going to have a conversation. We're going to allow for the dialogue. Maybe it's the responsibility of having those uncomfortable conversations with a client who's not a good fit. That's also one too. Or a boundary with a team member. The second one, speaking of boundaries, is establishing your boundaries. If you want flow of going towards your goals where you're feeling in alignment, like you're moving towards something that you want to be moving toward, you have to have banks, which is a great term because banks for money, but also you have to have the banks of it guiding somewhere, of it leading somewhere versus a lake that there's no flow in a lake. There may be a little bit from wind and people may love to boat on it, but it's not going anywhere. If you actually want to create flow, it's got to go someplace. You've got to have those like masculine energy boundaries containing that feminine energy, the creative juices. So that could be the boundaries of having saying, you know what, I've given a lot away on this conversation. Maybe it's a sales conversation. Everything after that is paid, like a paid experience.
Yeah.
So if you want more, you're going to have to pay for that. It could be a boundary of with a team member of saying, hey, you're not meeting these expectations of what were or the deadlines. We need to have a conversation of, is this a right fit? That can be a boundary. You don't know your boundaries until they're tested, but it's a boundary is something that is a felt sense that we can feel inside of us because we know boundaries somatically. Some boundaries are established. The first boundary we ever experience is in our mother's womb. That is the first physical boundary. We don't linguistic boundaries. We don't know. So boundaries you experience when there's a feeling inside of you, which brings me to hack number three, is being emotionally aware, not brushing it off, not saying, oh, I don't need to deal with it. If you feel something inside of you, your subconscious mind, it's the domain of the emotions. Your body is run by your subconscious mind. So if you're looking at changing your story, you have to also acknowledge and accept what it is that you're feeling in the moment. Sometimes entrepreneurs especially don't like to accept. They're like, no, I'm not feeling angry. I just driven. Keep going. And so we'd like to brush off those uncomfortable feelings instead of saying, no, this is present. I'm actually really disappointed in myself, or this is present. I'm really feeling very frustrated, or I'm feeling this sensation. It's a somatic experience. And when we can allow ourselves to have that biological response of a feeling, understanding what that feeling means will then guide us to transforming the story around the thing that's causing the problem.
Wow. So three amazing hacks. Number one, accept more responsibility so you can have energy, money, and power. Number two, know your boundaries so you can establish those boundaries and have a better outcome from the people that you're working with. And number three, being emotionally aware. Because when you know your own emotions, and I've been listening to High Performance Habits by Brendon Burchard, he talks a lot about emotions, energies, and boundaries. Because when you know your emotions, emotion is something that can come and go, but it's how you feel and how you control or how you let your body be guided is what really then brings into the fruition, like where you're going to take.
Emotions, I like to think, so there's a difference between feelings and emotions. Feelings are our biological response that scientifically lasts for about 90 seconds.
90 seconds.
But an emotion, those get stacked. So it's basically if you took that 90 seconds and you cut it off at 60, so you didn't allow yourself to feel those extra 30 because of shame, blame, guilt, or whatever. You're like, I shouldn't be feeling this way. Right. Then it gets shoved into this bulk of an emotional Jenga set of, oh, this is shame. So this is an experience. And so and then it stacks. And that's why subconscious processes that I use like timeline therapy or hypnosis are beneficial, because what those processes do is that they basically pull out those bottom blocks of the stack and they topple it so that we don't have to deal with that origin emotion. So that the next time you feel shame or you feel guilt, it's no longer this big, like if you've ever had a moment where you're like, whoa, that was a bigger reaction than really was warranted for such a small scenario. That was wow. That's a sign that you have an emotional Jenga set in that category of that emotion that can be toppled.
That makes so much sense, because even the slightest change could come back with that huge reaction. And I see a lot of that in my daughter building up. So I need to... looking at what's going on.
How old's your daughter?
She's 5 years old.
That at 5 years old, there's a great book that I'm reading called No Drama Discipline and the Whole Brain Child. They don't have their prefrontal cortex developed. So they literally don't have the capacity that we do as adults to be able to have that regulation. It's like physically not in their capacity yet. But that ability to co-regulate with her is super important. It was something that I didn't have, but you can learn it. No Drama Discipline and The Whole Brain Child.
See, one of the questions that I have is, what advice do you have for aspiring coaches and entrepreneurs? And no, never mind. Back up. There's the other question. Recommendations on books and podcasts on other resources. So this was a good resource that I can definitely.
Oh, yeah. I'm a font of book recommendations. And it really, it runs the gambit from like esoteric sciences to spirituality to high performance to productivity to parenting. To like how the body works.
I love your mind.
Thank you. Awesome.
All right. So in the grand scheme of things, crown yourself. The main thing that you have been teaching is storytelling. And recently, now the recording is happening May 3rd in 2023. And there's a recent Writers Guild strike happening. And now we know one happened back in 2007, 2008, which lasted for about 14 weeks.
Yep.
What that meant was that no more new TV shows are being produced. Now, the important thing that we learned from Kimberly is the art of storytelling, and that's what writers bring to the screen. And I think becoming a good storyteller as a podcaster, as a parent, as a human being, I think is so important that the more we see the world around us, not everybody has that capacity to tell a story. Talk to me a little bit about that.
I highly recommend the book's Story by Robert McKee. It's a hefty clunker of a book, but it's jam-packed with how to tell story and the work of Joseph Campbell on archetypes, because story myth has been around since the dawn of how we started connecting as humans.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things is with how we tell our stories, both that we share publicly and that we share, that we keep to ourselves, those are what are driving our public perception as well as our internal perception of ourselves. Ideally, our stories that we tell outwardly are paralleling, mirroring, and truthful to our unconscious stories.
Yeah.
But where you see a lot of like celebrities go awry sometimes, it's when they have a story of their life that's being portrayed in a certain way because of publicity and PR, and that's better marketing, mm-hmm. versus who they really feel like they are inside.
Yeah.
Like I just watched the Whitney Houston biopic.
Mm-hmm.
It's just tragic. Like such an amazing talent, but the story that she had going on inside of who she was and who she was outwardly being portrayed, there was such a massive incongruence that it really messes with people's minds when the world sees you as something that you're not, that you don't believe that you, or at least that you don't believe that you are. That's such a harsh reflection. And so being able to understand perception, influence, persuasion, and the storytelling arc is incredibly important to your communicating abilities as an entrepreneur, as a founder, as a CEO, as a podcaster. It's what sells. Recently, we launched a guest podcasting agency. Nice. And one of the things that it was because of guest podcasting it was the most profitable form of lead generation for new business in 2021 and 2020 for us, and 2022 too.
Yeah.
And I said, let's take this strategy and bring it out to the world so that more people can leverage this. And what I'm seeing and what I've seen consistently is that strategy is great, but strategy without story, people don't care about. I can give you tips and tricks, and I can share with you about how ownership is and accepting personal responsibility is great, but that doesn't land. It doesn't hit our emotional core. As if I said, when I was struggling with bulimia, I was blaming my dad for the multiple forms of abuse that I experienced as a child. And from that experience, I had to realize that it was never my dad shoving my finger down my throat. That was me. And once I took personal responsibility for that, I knew that I could have full responsibility and full ownership of my own healing.
Yeah.
And that it wouldn't be his win, it would be mine. And I wanted my recovery to be mine. That lands so much better, right?
Yes, it does. Oh my God.
Just being like, you should take personal ownership of your shit. It's being able to allow for that story to guide in. Use yourself as a personal example as far as what the things that you practice and say and do in your business are how you're living your life. And the examples of where you weren't doing that to now where you are and what's changed.
It's so beautiful. And as podcasters and being on the journey of podcasting for 5 years, we do so much personal development. It's mind blowing, right? So thank you so much for sharing your journey, your tips, the hacks, and your personal story. Now comes the point in the podcast where we do some rapid fire questions to round out this fun episode.
All right.
Let's do this. Number one, what is the one hobby that you wish you got into?
Drumming.
Oh my God, I want to drum so bad.
Yeah, drumming. And so I literally have my 2-year-old's drum and his tambourine, and I'm like, bah, 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 bah. So I
pretend drum. Oh, yeah. I like it. Number two, what did you want to be when you were a child?
A princess. Duh.
Duh. My daughter says the same thing. She loves Elsa and Anna and all the princesses. It's pretty fun.
I always loved Belle. I never loved the stories of Snow White or Beauty and the... I love Beauty and the Beast. I never loved Snow White or like Cinderella where they just had to lose a shoe or just get kissed. Or there was no heroism in that. Like, I wanted someone who like faced a challenge. And this is how I've always been.
Yeah.
Always. And then rose, conquered, took her place on the throne, found her source of power internally, not externally, from a man. Mm-hmm. That's what I loved.
No, that's probably one of my favorite movies also, Beauty and the Beast. So well
done. So good. So good.
Awesome. Next up, what is your favorite movie or TV show?
My favorite movie is The Greatest Showman, and my favorite TV show is Ted Lasso.
So when The Greatest Showman came out, I think TikTok was called the previous version of the name. Mm-hmm. I would do live streams on TikTok and sing along The Greatest Showman songs.
Oh, that's amazing.
At one point, we did a live show and I did karaoke on A Million Dreams because I just love that song. And my wife tells me that's your song because I'm always dreaming and I'm always looking forward and I'm always envisioning great things for us.
Oh, same here. Yeah. My husband and I sing that all the time. Now our 5-year-old sings it with us and he always asks for it. And I'm like, yes. Seriously, those are some of the best written lyrics that are so beautiful. Come Alive is like my jam.
Yeah.
That is my song that just like when I want to reignite myself. Oh my goodness. That is my song that I go to remember who I am.
It's been a while since I listened to the song, so I think I'm going to play them later today.
Yes. Yes. The first movie that we watched as a family when we moved into our new home was The Greatest Showman. And it was actually because my son was like, I want to watch that one. And I was like, yes, I'll sit down and watch that. I'll stop everything and watch that. Sure.
Nice. And Ted Lasso has been so good. I'm actually rewatching the first and second season because I'm like, okay, what happened again? Oh my God. In every scene, there's like a crying moment. And it's just so beautiful.
There's so many beautiful coachable moments in that. Yeah. And just the way he thinks about strategy and team and how they love each other. It's such a beautiful, well done show.
And the latest episode that I watched for season one is when the boss, she comes and tells Ted Lasso what she has been doing. And he just looks at her and she forgives her. Like that, it takes a really big heart to be able to forgive. Because again, we're all humans and we all do crazy things. So being able to forgive one another is a very important quality for us to keep moving.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, next question. What movie would you choose if you, Kimberly, got to play a character in it?
Oh, Wonder Woman.
Easy. That's easy.
Easy. Duh. Right.
So the question,
because I love the training part. Like, I would love to do the training for 8 hours a day to explore what just that physical intensity. I love a good physical challenge. I'm a weirdo. Yeah. Like, I chose to have children naturally. That's like, just because I wanted a physical challenge.
No, absolutely. And it is a beautiful thing. My wife did the same thing.
Amazing.
The next question leans right into the movie that you choose. Who is your favorite superhero?
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman. Come on.
Wonder Woman. Duh.
Get with the program, Janae.
Duh. Wonder Woman. Followed closely by the tortured Batman. Though I would say, actually, as far as superhero, but supervillain, Harley Quinn.
She's awesome.
I think we also need to embrace our shadow side.
We do.
From time to time, and recognize the villains that we can play. And then that will give us illumination into the light that we actually have because we choose the light.
I love that. Okay, last question. If you were a board game, what would it be?
Life.
Life. We have selected life. Thank you for playing.
Thank you for playing. Yeah. Gosh, I haven't played a board game in forever.
Yeah, because we have so many digital distractions now.
That, and I think my we do Connect Four.
Okay.
So we started with tic-tac-toe, then we did Connect Four, then we started doing chess, and I was like, I feel dumb. I watched the Queen's Gambit, and I was like, I may need to learn some things as to how to play this game well.
Absolutely. Kimberly, this was so much fun. We'll be sure to include the links on where to find and connect with you, Kimberly. Where is the first place that you go look online for people to come find you?
If you love podcasts like this, then come check out the Crown Yourself podcast with Kimberly Spencer. And you can always go to crownyourself.com for all the things.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Kimberly. This was so much fun. And we'll catch you in the next episode.
Thank you so much, Junaid.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode on Hacks and Hobbies. We absolutely appreciate your contribution. You can find additional notes on hacksandhobbies.com. Please share the podcast with your friends and tell them what you learned about our guest today.